It's Chazor Zeichen Nishabach Chazor Shagam Vem Yuhim Zeichen Nishabach Zdaf Nun Hey. A Braisa says we separate Trumas Meiser from fresh figs for dried figs based on a number in a place where it's customary to allow figs to become dried figs. However, we do not separate from dried figs for fresh figs, even in a place where it's customary to allow figs to become dried figs. For example, the first part of the Braisa seems to say that if it's not customary to allow figs to dry, then fresh figs may not be separated for dried figs. What case is the Braisa referring to? If there's a kohen there to accept the Trumas Meiser, it should be allowed even if it's not customary, because the Mishnah says that where there is a kohen there, we separate Truma from the superior produce. Rather, it's obvious that the case is that there's no kohen there. However, the next part of the Braisa seems to imply that even if it's customary to allow figs to dry, we may not separate from dried figs for fresh figs. If the Braisa is discussing where there's no kohen, why can't that be done? The Mishnah says that if there was no kohen, we should separate from produce that can last longer rather than from superior produce. It must be that the case is that there is a kohen there. Can we say the first part of the talks about where there is no kohen, the second part talks about where there is a kohen? Evermore, yeah. The first part refers to where there is no kohen, the second part refers to where there is a kohen. Now, Papa said we see from here that it's better to say that a braisa is referring to two different cases rather than say that the braisa is the view of two different tanoim. Zakt, the next Mishnah. All menachas are kneaded with lukewarm water and must be guarded that they don't become chametz. If the shiraim of the mincha becomes chametz, he's oivan alei saseh. The requirement to guard the mincha from becoming chametz is based on the pasuk of kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem, lo yaseh chametz. One would be chayiv malchus for the kneading, for the shaping, or for the baking of a chametz mincha. How do we know that he's oivir for a lav, for allowing the shrine to become chametz? Where he said, this is based on the pasuk that says, lo yaseh chametz chelkom, which Reish Lakish explains to mean, even the kohen's piece itself, meaning the shrine, may not be baked as chametz. Our Bryce uses the pasuk for a different drasha to teach that a person is chayiv malchus for each step in the process of making the chametz mincha, for example, you know, the kneading and the baking all separately. So how can you make this drasha? Evmar Reish Lakish dashing the words, chelkom. And therefore, that word has not been used for the other drasha. Maybe we say that the pasuk is only for the drasha of Reish Lakish, and not like the Braisa uses it. And the fact that the pasuk says lo yaseyaf echametz chelkom instead of chelkom leseyaf echametz, we can learn both drashas. Why does the Braisa say that this pasuk teaches that each step in the process would bring a separate chi of malchus? Why not say that baking brings malchus, like the pasuk says, but with regard to the other steps, one is only chayiv one set of malchus for all the other steps? And the Gemara, baking was part of the general isser of lo yaseyaf chametz, and was taken out of the general isser with the pasuk of lo yaseyaf. We have a rule that in such a case, the thing taught when it's removed from the general pasuk is meant to apply to everything in the general rule. Why don't we instead say that lo yaseyaf is a klal, lo yaseyaf is a prat, and we say klal uprat, where the rule is that ein bechlal ela mashe beprat, and we therefore only include baking. And for the Gemara, Avtoriki said, The reason we don't say this is that the klal and the prat are not near each other, and therefore we don't darshan in this way. Vekamar Rav Adar Hava asked, is it true that a klal and prat that are not next to each other are not darshan this way? A braisa says, the pasuk regarding the Nasi's chata says that it should be shechted in the place that the oil is shechted. This teaches that the chata should be shechted in the north. Now we have a pasuk that teaches that every chata should be shechted in the place that an oil is shechted. So why is the pasuk regarding Nasi's chata needed? It's needed to teach that if it's not shechted in the north, it's pasul. Maybe instead say that the pasuk is teaching that only this chata needs to be shechted in the north, but other chatoyas don't need to be shechted in the north. This can't be, because the pasuk of chata in general says that it should be shechted in the place the oil is. Now, the Braisa seems to say that if not for the pasuk regarding Or Chatos, we would say that the pasuk regarding the Nasi's Chatos teaches that only that Chatos needs to be shechted in the north, but other Chatos do not need to be shechted there. Presumably, this would be because we would darshan the general pasuk and the pasuk regarding the Nasi's Chatos as a those two pasukim we would darshan as a klal uprat, even though the pasukim are far away from each other. And for the Gemara of Rashi said the pasuk of the Nasi's Chatos is written first, which makes it a case of a prat to klal, which normally serves to include everything. The fact that we don't darshan it like this shows that we don't darshan the psukim that are far away from each other. The Gemara says the reason the requirement to be shechted in the north would have been limited to the Nasi's Chatos, if not for the additional pasuk, is because the word oisoi in the pasuk of the Nasi's Chatos, which would seem to teach that only this Chatos must be shechted in the north.